Glad you came to church today. Welcome to Praise Chapel. We are in a theme here called Creator. You should have your control notes on your seat or at the end of the aisles, and so you could grab the control notes so you could follow along with us in our message for today. Last week, we learned that as a creation, we require a creator. As us being a creation, we require a creator, and the creation is a testimony to the existence of God. You know, today, as we get into this message, I believe that the creation is a testimony to the existence of God, but not all want to believe that he is the creator. Not everybody wants to believe that God is a creator of the heavens and the earth. There's a story of a young man who once told his mother, one day he went to his mom and he said, "Mom, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God anymore." And the mom, she quietly responded. She said, "Well, if there is no God, then who made the world?" He replied, "Nobody. It just happened." So a few days go by, and then he came home from school one day and passed through the kitchen, and there was a sandwich sitting on the counter in the kitchen. And he asked, "Who made the sandwich?" And his mother said, "Nobody made it. It just happened." You see, that young man was wrong. Just as there could be no sandwich without a sandwich maker, there can be no creation without a creator. But even still, now that he has learned that creation requires a creator, his question to his mother still poses a thought that whoever made that sandwich needs to be recognized. He says, "Who made the sandwich?" Same as, "Who made creation?" In other words, whoever is the creator deserves recognition. He got that sandwich. He ate that sandwich. He said, "Man, this sandwich is delicious. Who made it?" You know, his mom, in wanting to teach him that all creation needs a creator, says, "Nobody, you know, it just happened," because that's the way he thought. Well, we just came. We just came out of nowhere. It just happened. Things don't just happen. Something made it happen. There is a creator. And so today, we're going to be talking about recognizing the creator. That's why I've entitled this message today, Recognize the Creator. And you know, today is actually National Flag Day. Red, white, and blue, Flag Day. And I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about how I've entitled this message, Recognize the Creator. And I begin to think about how on this day, as Flag Day, and how we recognize our flag. Why do we need a flag day? We see these flags waving around, through neighborhoods. You see them at government places. You see them, you know, in different stores or what have you not. So, but why do we recognize the flag day? We already have, you know, 4th of July, Independence Day, and we have Memorial Day, and we have Veterans Day, and we pull out our flags for those days. But specifically, they want to acknowledge Flag Day, and remembering the flag, and recognizing the flag. And I begin to think about that. Why? It's because we need to be reminded of recognition, recognizing people, recognizing things, recognizing the foundation. And I begin to think about how, you know, it's not 4th of July, and we'll get into that later, but I begin to think about how our country was founded on recognizing their creator, recognizing God, recognizing who is the creator of heaven and earth. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 28 says, "O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong." Here in Chronicles, it's telling all the nations of the world. We sang about it today that the Lord is good, and that the nations need to recognize that God is glorious, that God is strong. And so today we are going to be talking about, I've entitled this message, Recognize the Creator. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. Book of John, chapter 1. When you're there, say, "I got it." Book of John, chapter 1, starting at verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Notice in your translation, I'm reading in the New Living Translation, but notice in your text that the word is capitalized, identifying that this word is a title to somebody. In the beginning, the word, it's a name. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God. The word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Come on, that's something to celebrate, amen? But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for this rebirthing, that old things have passed away and all things have become new. God, we needed a fresh start, and you given us a fresh start because we believed in you. Your word says that all who have believed, God, that all who believe and accept you have become children of God. Thank you for inviting us into your family. Thank you for giving us a rebirthing. And Lord, today as we get into your word, I pray that you would be honored and that you would be recognized. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I want to make as you have your control notes is look around and be amazed. Look around and be amazed. Last week, as we talked about how creation requires a creator, we talked about how creation itself is evidence to God's existence. As you walk around, as you look out at the beautiful scenery of all that God has done, and how we have the mountains and the trees, and we have the hills, the valleys, and the ocean, and just a body of waters, that you can't help but want to stand in awe of who God is. Many people like to take paintings of sceneries and put them up in their houses or in rooms to look at that and to just to see the beauty of nature, just to see the beauty of creation. Many people strive and push in the corporate world just to get that corner office with the window. Why? Because they want to see the beauty of creation. They want the light to come in their office. You know, they don't want an office that has no windows and just four walls where they feel like they're in a closet. They want the openness. Why? Because there's just something about the beauty of creation. We stand amazed. Have you ever been into somebody's office that was maybe up on the top floor in the penthouse or just at a higher level than maybe the third floor or something, and you just look out, you go, man, that's a beautiful view right there, right? You ever seen that? You ever look at it? You know, sometimes I'm a court reporter by trade, so I have to go down to like Palm Beach Courthouse, and I go up to like the 11th floor, and I just look out at the beautiful scenery of all the boats that are in the docks and just the houses and lands, and you just can't help but look at them and just say, wow. Looking at the clouds on a beautiful day. I mean, we live in Florida, and so we always have a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful sunset, and just seeing the wonders of how God puts everything in control, in movement. You look around and you're just amazed. And sometimes if you've ever had the opportunity to stand on a mountaintop or stand on a hill and you see just the wonder and amazement of creation, you just feel so small. You say, man, this is so much bigger than me. This is so much bigger than me. We live our everyday lives as if thinking that this is it, but there's just so much more. We look around and we are amazed. Psalms 111 verses 2 and 3 says, how amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. You see, many people like to take retreats to like cabins or valleys or in the woods or something, or or they just like to go to the beach. Have you ever just wanted to go to the beach and read a book and just sit in your beach chair or just lay out or just relax? I mean, we have the opportunity to do that. The beach is only 15 minutes away from here to just, you know what, if you're having a stress week, I just want to go to the beach and I just want to sit there. I don't even want to get in the water, maybe just put my feet in it. You know, many people sing songs about that, you know, about just going to the beach and letting your cares just fly away, right? Why? Because there's just something about being in nature, in the creation, and just letting your thoughts run away, seeing the water flow, people who have cabins in the woods and just wanted to sit on the porch or on the watch the creek and watch the stream go down. Why? It's because there's just something, it's like a serenity, something so peaceful about it. We begin to find the peace of God in creation. Have you ever looked at something and you said, man, God, that's so beautiful. Wow. And that's what the scripture is saying. It's saying, how amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. How did he ever think about this? I like the movie on not Bruce Almighty, but the one after that is Evan Almighty, when, you know, Evan Almighty, where he becomes the Noah Ark of the Noah's Ark of New York. And in that movie, the actor of God takes Evan to this place where his house is, I guess the valley where his house is, but he puts him on the mountains and he looks and he kind of removes all the houses and just shows him the original plan of how he made that valley. And Evan goes, man, it's beautiful. He goes, you don't recognize where you are? He goes, no. And he goes, you know, when I remember when I created this and I put the hills on this way so that they could have just the right light and it could overshadow the trees. And it was so wonderful to see. I mean, it's obviously a fictional movie, but to see how people could just stand and it's so true in wondering and pondering, how did God think about putting this mountain here? How did he think about putting that ocean there? And just standing in wonder and amazement of all that God's doing. And all of a sudden, Evan, the actor God reveals to him what it is now, and he sees all the houses, he sees all the smog, he sees all the freeways, and he goes, man, that's what we did to creation. It was so beautiful, and that's what we did, is we just kind of made it our own, and we kind of just put anything and everything, and we lost how beautiful and peaceful this place could be and made it chaotic. You know, a preacher once said, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. We need to look around and we need to be amazed. Even in our own lives, in our daily lives, when we're going through things and we have our struggles, we need to know that we have a Creator who understands our every being as a creation. He knows our ins and our outs. And we just need to look around and we need to be amazed and say, God, thank you for what you're doing. The second point is, even when we think we created it, even when we think we created it, we still need to give God recognition. Because many times what could happen is we could confuse ourselves as the creator. We begin to make projects. We begin to write stories. We have so many people writing books and poems and people who are artists and painting, people who are in construction and building. And we could look at the handiwork of our hands and we could think that we are the creators. You know, the biggest movie that just came out is Jurassic World, and in that movie they're talking about recreating dinosaurs, and the whole movie is about this one dinosaur that wasn't even really a dinosaur. It was created in a lab, and they took part of the T-Rex, and they took part of this dinosaur, and they took part of frogs, and they took part of fishes, and they kind of put it all into this one thing and made this dinosaur and was messing around with creation, and all of a sudden this dinosaur that they created is now like the most vicious, biggest kind of being that there is, and it escapes and starts terrorizing the theme park or what have you. And so many times, why? It's because we try to mess around and think that we can be God. We try to mess around and think that we are the creators instead of recognizing the Creator of heaven and earth. And we begin to take things in our own hands and only for things to get messed up, to destroy creation in itself. We get confused that we're just a creation and that he's the creator. Job chapter 33, verse 14 says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. You see, when we're having our issues in our lives and when we're living around and we think, oh, I went to school and I got this job and we think we did it all, God's trying to speak to us and God's trying to tell us, no, I opened the door for you. The Bible says that pride comes before the fall. And when we begin to pride ourselves in thinking that we've done all that is accomplished in our lives, we're setting ourselves up for failure. That's when the enemy wants to come in and break us down. But we need to recognize that God's a creator of all things. The opportunities that we have in our lives, God's created those opportunities. As we read in our text from the book of John, Jesus was there. He is the Word. Jesus is the Word. He says, "I'm the bread of life." And according to John, he was there in the beginning and he'll be there at the end. And he says, anyone who believes in him and accepts him has become a child of God. And as a child of God, just like any good parent has a plan for their children. Sometimes as parents, we begin to push our plans a little bit too hard on our children and they begin to rebel against that plan. Instead of encouraging it, we demand it. But God's saying, I just want to be recognized. I'm creating opportunities in your life and so that you could walk through those doors and that you could have a purpose and a plan. And he wants us to find that purpose and our plan. But he doesn't want us to get confused in thinking that we are the creators. He's a creator. We like to think that we're in control. But when we begin to take the place of God, it destroys creation itself. We begin to find ourselves in trouble. We begin to find ourselves in difficult situations. We begin to find ourselves with heartache and pain and saying, what happened? Well, God wasn't in it. God wasn't in it. But when we begin to put God into our lives and we begin to acknowledge him and we begin to say, God, I'm doing this for you. Is this what you want me to do? When we begin to find out our purpose of what God has for us and we begin to live our lives, not for what the things that we want, but to say, God, I just want to live my life to bring you glory. Does that mean that everything's going to go our way? No. But when it doesn't go your way, you still realize who the creator is. And it gives you strength to go on. You say, God, I'm doing everything you want me to do. Now, it reminds me of the story of Jeremiah. I've been reading the book of Jeremiah lately. And in the book of Jeremiah, God keeps giving Jeremiah words. He says, go tell the people, I've seen your wickedness. I've seen what you've been doing. And you know, a time's coming where your sins are going to catch up to you. You're going to be punished. And the people didn't want to listen to Jeremiah. They were saying, Jeremiah, all you have is bad news. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear the good stuff. Tell us the good stuff about God. Tell us about how God's going to bless us. We want to just keep on, we're going to keep on living the way we want to live. But Jeremiah's like, I'm just the messenger. I'm just telling you what God's telling me to tell you. And they didn't want to hear it. And so, you know what? The Bible says that they began to persecute Jeremiah. They began to throw him out of the city. They would talk about him, and so many times Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet, and he would come before God, and he would say, God, why, my family and my friends are turning against me, nobody likes me, I mean, I don't want to do this anymore. Have you ever been like that in your Christianity, where you're just like, God, I feel like I'm alone in this Christianity, I don't want to do this anymore, being good is too hard, but Christianity is not about being good. Jeremiah realized that, and he says, God, but what else can I do? If I try to stay silent, it's like fire shot up in my bones. I have to say something. My purpose is to speak your word, and I have to do what you created me to do. And he found peace in God in doing all that God asked him to do. He found his peace in God even when everybody was turning against him, even when things were just according to human standards, was just destructive. He found peace in God. We like to think that we're in control, but Psalms 100, verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We need to acknowledge who God is in our lives, that we're just a creation. And when we find ourselves in those situations where it's time to recognize someone or something, we need to recognize and acknowledge God. That God, this wasn't possible. This wouldn't have been possible without you in my life. Especially for those who believe. As believers, we understand that God's a giver of all good things. And that brings us to our third point. Acknowledge the Creator's work. Acknowledge the Creator's work. Job chapter 24, verse 13 says, wicked people rebel against the light. They refuse to acknowledge its ways and stay in its path. Wicked people rebel against the light. They refuse to acknowledge its ways or stay in its path. And as we read in the book of John, Jesus is that light. John the Baptist came to declare the light that was coming, and he was speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And Job, even years before Jesus came, said, wicked people rebel against the light. They rebel against Christ. They refuse to acknowledge his ways or to stay in his path. But for those who believe and those who accept him, he says they have been called children of God. Children of God. And they are reborn. I love how the Bible and how Christianity through the salvation of Jesus Christ talks about a rebirth. Because too many times in our lives, we feel like we're born this way, or we're born that way, or this is who we are. But in Christianity, when we find ourselves in Christ, we have been reborn. We have become a child of God, and not a physical birth, the Bible says, resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. We needed something new in our lives, and God gave us a new spirit. He gave us his spirit. And we need to acknowledge his work and recognizing that we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Catch that today. Because too many times in our Christian lives, we begin to live like dead people. Like we have no life inside of us. Like we're always depressed. Like we're always just looking to be good, but we're never good enough. And you're never going to be good enough. The more good you try to be, the less good you are going to be. But when you recognize God in your life, that the only thing good about you is God in you, you begin to find life. And you're saying, God, I just want to live a life that's pleasing to you. Not making it off of my own choices, but acknowledging the work that you've done in me. How can we acknowledge God in our lives? How can we acknowledge his work? Can anybody give me examples? How can we acknowledge him? Throw out some examples. Anybody? How can we acknowledge God in our lives? What are some ways that we can acknowledge God? Anybody? We could praise him, giving him the praise. When something happens in our life, something good happens, we say, God, thank you. Thank you for that happening. What's another way that we can acknowledge him? Through prayer, before we make decisions, before we make plans and doing things in our own way and thinking that we've done it, we've accomplished this, saying, God, coming before him and saying, Lord, I'm about to go into this path in life. Is this what you have for me? In everything, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Praying before something good happens, praying before something bad happens. Acknowledging him. Thanking him. Thanking him for all that's happening. But you don't understand, I don't have anything to thank him about right now. The fact that you're here and alive is something to thank God about. But you don't understand, I have nothing to eat at my home and I have no place to sleep. But you need to understand that he's still in control and he's not done with you yet. God could begin to turn things around. There's a reason to acknowledge him and give him thanks, because he is a creator and we are the creation, and we need to acknowledge him. Psalms 22, verse 27 says, "The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him." That's a prophetic word right there. The whole earth, say the whole earth. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. This is something that will happen according to the book of Psalms. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. Is it happening now? No, it's not happening now, but it will happen. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. You see, there's going to be a time where all heaven and earth is going to see the glory of Jesus. And for those who believe now are already in the habit of bowing down and worshiping him. But those who refuse to do so are going to have to when they see the glory of God at the end times. When Christ returns and they see that he is real, they're going to bow before him. But it's going to be too late. So whether you bow now or bow later, don't let it be too late. Acknowledge him now. The whole earth will acknowledge him. I love to talk about creation because I was reading the book of Job, and in the book of Job, the book of Job is so real to our nature as humans. Because here Job is, he's living a godly life. He has, he's married, he has kids, he has a home, he has the wealth of God, he has the favor of God over his life, right? But then the enemy comes in and he steals, kills, and destroys. He steals all his livestock, he kills his kids, he wants to destroy his reputation. I don't know if you've ever been there in your life where the enemy's done that, where you're just like, "Why, God? I'm serving you, I'm honoring you. Why did my children have to die? Why did I lose my job? Why is my car breaking down? Why, God, why?" And so Job was in that place. And then instead of your friends coming to back you up and help you, they're over here trying to figure out why it happened to you too. "Well, you must have did something wrong. You probably deserve this somehow. Come on, anybody got those friends who, they're just so negative? Well, you probably deserve what you got." Well, geez. Come on, instead of lifting me up, you're bringing me down. And that's exactly what was happening to Job. But there's a conversation where God speaks out of the whirlwind to Job. And he says, "Okay, now it's my turn to speak to you. Where were you when I lay the foundations of this earth?" And he begins to go through all of creation. He goes, "Where were you when I told the waves to stop? This is how far you could come and no more." And he began to go and take him through all different scenes of creation. You stand and you give me an answer. Where were you? For I am the creator. And Job just says, "God, you're absolutely right. Who am I to question you? You're the creator. And I'm the creation. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord." Job, the Bible said, was restored all that he lost, doublefold, and he lived a long life. According to the Bible, he saw four generations after him grow up. Why? Because he acknowledged God in his life. We need to acknowledge the Lord. And as I begin to think about that, there was a time in Jesus' ministry where the people on Palm Sunday were crying out and they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings, Hosanna to the Son of David." And there was religious people who said, "Tell them to stop. Tell them to stop praising you. Tell them to stop shouting that." And Jesus said, "If I told them to stop, the rocks would cry out." Because that's the truth. Why did an earthquake happen when Jesus died? Why did an earthquake happen when Jesus rose from the grave? Because it's creation's way of giving God praise. Why do we have tidal waves and these huge waves and hurricanes? And why do we have all these what we consider destruction? But in nature, it's considered their majestic praise. It's what they were created to do. It's their being. They've been restrained for the purpose of man. But if creation is left alone, it will extremely want to do what it was created to do in order to give God praise. Catch that today. Earthquakes will happen because the earth wants to shake to give God praise. Tidal waves and tsunamis will happen because the water was created to give God praise. Hurricanes will happen because the wind wants to show its majesticness and give God praise. Yet God put restraint on all creation for the purpose of protecting man, so that man will cry out and give God praise. But if man does not acknowledge God, creation will. And where man does not acknowledge God and creation begins to do so, to man, we see it as destruction. But to God, he sees it as praise. And so we look at on the news about all these national catastrophes, yet those areas, were they giving and acknowledging praise to God? I believe in the word of God and how he says when nations begin to acknowledge him and give him praise, they will be blessed. And I believe that God has blessed this nation because we have been a nation that acknowledged God. But the further we pull away from God, the more destruction we're going to see from creation. Because creation was created to give God praise. But man was created to give God praise. And if we will choose not to acknowledge and give God praise, then creation will have to. All that is good comes from God, and creation needs to recognize his great work. We need to give God praise now, before the time's too late. Because as Psalm said, there will be a time when every family of every nation will bow down before him. But right now we have the choice to give him all the honor and to give him all the praise, to recognize the Creator. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Now's the time, church. Now's the time to acknowledge that we're just a creation. We're not the creator. We have a creator, and he deserves to be recognized. Somebody needs to recognize and give him praise. Lord Jesus, today, God, we thank you